Thank you for listening to the Fields Brothers Show.
You know, I know what you're going to say about this, but, you know, there's more to this whole dynamic of whether or not we obey or can obey or do obey God's word other than just what Paul said. I know what Paul said in Romans 7, but here's my scripture I want you to think about. This is out of Isaiah 53, which is a definitive prophecy about Jesus in the Old Testament.
That's the all we like sheep have gone astray.
All we like sheep have gone astray. That's what the sheep did. They just went astray. Not like God's requiring them to play the piano. You know, you just stay put. Just don't wander off. And so I think there's an element. I'm not trying to discount what Paul said, but there's an element, too, that we just wander off. And I think that makes the gospel even more amazing because it's not just God coming in and doing what we couldn't possibly do on our own anyway, but that we just weren't willing. And I think there's a nature that makes us not want to do, you know, the right thing. But anyway.
So you've been thinking about that for 4 months now since we last did our podcast.
No, off and on. I just never got my thought completed. And I thought, you know, I thought maybe that, I don't know. I just thought maybe. Anyway, I'm Roger Fields.
And I'm Jeff Fields, the younger and more athletic of the Fields brothers.
And the one who used to be in a fancy schmancy office, but who's getting relocated.
Wait a minute. That's not exactly public knowledge yet.
Sorry about that.
I forgot to tell you that.
Okay, so we may have to edit that out. I don't know. But anyway. So anyway, we're broadcasting from Nicholasville, Kentucky at Moonlight Fields Farm. And so we don't take donations. Don't send us money or Jeff will spend it. We're golfing, I guess.
Since you brought up golf, it's really fitting that we're starting back after over four month little vacation from the podcast. Yeah. And you know what else is starting this weekend? Starting back? The PGA Tour starting back in Hawaii. So
really?
Go ahead.
So what's up? So they didn't do any golf tours since COVID? No.
They were only off for a...
Yeah, because it's outside. I mean, what's the...
They still had them. They just didn't have fans. But anyway, so this is the start of the calendar season for them. So it's kind of exciting for those of us who follow golf. We kind of gauge the calendar by where they are. The first 2 weeks in January, they're in Hawaii. And so then they come back to the West Coast. And so...
All right, I'm going to give you some of the most... I don't know. I can't give you a word. At first, it's sappy Christian phrases, but they're not just sappy. They're kind of dysfunctional in a way. Dysfunctional Christian phrases.
Yeah, that's a little more tactful than worthless or stupid.
Yeah, so. It's not that. Yeah, I wouldn't depict it that way. But just phrases that I think, if you buy into some of these phrases, I think it makes it harder to enjoy the gospel, enjoy the truth of the gospel. So, what are you going to say?
Should we let people know the one change we're making in this podcast from the ones before?
Go ahead.
The time. We've decided to shorten the length of the podcast, where before we would do them 40 to 45 minutes. We stopped doing them, I think, late August. Had a little break here and excited about starting back. And for various reasons, we decided that we're shooting for 20 to 25 minutes. And so if we get partway into this and you get shocked that it's already over, that is planned. So, and we think there may be some listeners that maybe might pick up a few more listeners that'll listen to a 20 to 25 minute podcast.
Maybe that didn't really want to listen. It's too much to ask them to endure a full 40 or 45 minutes.
And I'm hoping there's nobody out there that says, well, if they're not going 40, then I'm not going to listen at all. So we're thinking there's not going to be anybody like that. So
I don't think there's going to be anybody.
So we'll go ahead and prepare you. So if you think you can just sleep through the first 15 or 20 minutes and wait for the juicy part at the end, then you're going to miss the
whole
thing.
I think we should have just left them with, wow, that just blew by this time, you know?
All right. Your sappy Christian
phrases. I put that on the title of Facebook, but I don't want to call them sappy. I think they're just dysfunctional.
Okay,
like,
dysfunctional Christian
because they just,
phrases, DCPs.
And I'll try to explain. number one, this has been a popular phrase from pastors for a long time. You can't have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. Well, when you hear that, I think, well, okay, kind of makes sense. I mean, you don't want one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world, but then functionally, what does that mean? Yeah, and when are you doing that? In other words, it says that God has already translated us into the kingdom of his son, And so does that mean anytime I have a bad attitude, I've now got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the kingdom? I mean, what does that mean?
You're trying to stray again? Or?
Well, yeah, I'm straying. But or it's like, you know, does it mean that if I had, okay, I did something wrong today, I had 1 foot in the kingdom, 1 foot in the world, I hope Jesus doesn't come back on that my day when I'm straddling the line. So what if I go through the next day, and if I can get through another couple of days without any major mess-ups, and that means I have both feet in the kingdom. So
it's all about performance. It's all about performance. outward behavior.
And you can't even define it.
Yeah.
But these are the phrases that I think throw Christians for a loop. I think it gets them discouraged. I think it gets them just, you know, ready to give up.
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of times those types, that one and other ones like that, are made, you know, people that are leading a group often want the group to feel guilty so that they'll keep coming back.
Right, right.
And so it's kind of a...
we can use that as a blanket condemnation for all kinds of things. Well, you skip church Sunday. Well, you have 1 foot in the world. Play golf on Sunday. All right,
here's I was going to bring up some later, but this kind of fits in there, is the idea of where you are. I mean, so really we're always in the kingdom.
Right.
And we're always in the world.
Right.
You know, you're in the world, but not of it, type of deal. So, I mean, but location, I may talk a little bit later about that. The idea that we are in Christ and
important. Well, so the Bible says you are in the world. I mean, I hate to tell you, but you're in both.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. All right, here's another one. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. So, Jeff, if he is not Lord of all, every part of your life, that he's not even Lord at all.
You know, that reminds me of that phrase we brought up one other time, the Keith Green song, if you can't come to me, and I think toward the end of Keith's life, he got a better handle on grace, but earlier one of the songs, if you can't come to me every day, then don't bother coming at all.
Yeah.
You know,
that
you
sounds only come pretty Sundays heartless that, of God. That is,
yeah, know. Really. So say that again then.
If Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all.
So of an individual life. So basically it's... Yeah. You got to be perfect.
Yeah, if you're not perfect.
And again, it's pointing to performance and behavior. Right. So if your words and your attitudes and all that, if you're not perfect, it's an easy way to make you feel guilty. And
I mean, did they even say stuff like this even in the Old Testament under the law? You know, was there anything ever from Moses or anybody that says, you know, if the law is not, you know, if you're not under the law, I don't know how to say it. Okay. You know,
it was pass fail. You know, it was, you know, if you keep all these commandments, then
James says,
here's what you're blessing. Well, I mean, even Deuteronomy says, you know, if you keep all these commandments, then I'll bless you. You know, you'll get this. Right. If you don't keep all these commandments, so I guess that's a little bit of a way of doing that. But
all right.
Dysfunctional Christian phrase number three.
Yeah. Here we go. Number three is, that was two.
Well, I mean, coming up
three. Three is... Jeff, you need to put God first.
Yeah.
I mean, who could argue with that? I mean, but what does it mean? Put God first. So, in other words, if you cut somebody off while you're driving to your fancy office, obviously we're not putting God first because you wanted to get there ahead of the other driver.
So it makes God competing with
everything. Well, there's still a list, and we just want God to move up the list. He was number six, and now he's moved up to three.
So you're making progress.
You're making progress. Now he's not third. And so, but it's like, it's still, my biggest beef with these are not only that there's two beefs. One is they do focus on us.
Right.
And secondly, you just can't even define it. It just always leaves you with a feeling that you're just never going to measure up.
Okay, that's to say, you're never going to get there. It's like unattainable goals. I mean, we're setting unattainable, unrealistic goals. Okay.
Now, these are a little different, moving on here, okay? These are a little less performance. But these are just interesting phrases that we use when there's a, you know, when we had a church service that we really apparently got a lot out of. We say, well, we really had church today.
Yeah.
We had church.
Church is not something you have anyway.
Yeah. I mean, what does that mean? It was very loud and emotional and there were a lot of people there. And so we had church.
Yeah. I guess what they,
what does that mean?
Practicality, it means that it was something that they found particularly moving or something like that. But you know, okay. That reminds me of another one. I saw this today, in print and, something that came in the mail. I'm guessing it may have come in your mail too, because it's probably on the same list. Talking about someone whose preaching was really anointed.
You know, I didn't see it in the mail. I didn't get that in the mail.
Wait. It came from the educational institution from which both of us graduated.
Oh, I did get a letter from that institution. I didn't open it. That's true.
But it's talking about an individual, and, and I'm sure he's a good preacher and all that. But it's talking about, you know, really, and one of the key points is really an anointed preacher. And so, you know, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. So every one of us is anointed. But it's interesting, kind of sad, I think, how that is used to kind of, I don't know. I mean, try to put a preacher in a different category.
He's
like
very,
extra
he's a very good speaker, and he's particularly emotional.
Either motivating.
He's very motivating, and he's that means he's anointed.
And so we call it anointed, as if he has something special with the Holy Spirit that others don't have.
Which a lot of people do believe that. You
know, yeah, and I mean, but unfortunately, someone could be. And again, I haven't even heard this individual, so I'm not. It's nothing about him, but just that title in general. Someone could be very motivational and moving and all that, and still be totally missing the gospel.
Right.
And somebody calls them anointed.
Okay, number five, Jeff. You need to be on fire for God.
Well, I forgot about that. I am supposed to be on fire, aren't I?
You're forgot all about that. Supposed to be on fire that. For God.
Now, I was feeling pretty good.
What that means is you've got to be very active, motivated,
intense,
passionate, loud. Probably would help. You got to be on fire for God. You got to be somewhat defensive to other people. You got to be willing to just roll over.
You want to along those lines. You want to burn up, not burn out. You heard that one?
Yeah, I'm burn up, not burn out.
Yeah, so.
Or burn up, not rust out. I've heard that too.
So that so on fire just means you need to be.
Yeah, it's all about you.
Is doing more, yeah.
Now this is one of my particular favorites. Okay, this is on number six. You ready?
Okay.
Number six.
We're about halfway through here, so we got
all right. More time. God will not give you more than you can handle. This
more
is one of my favorites because that what that means is
bear.
God says, "Okay, we're going to give Roger." Everything I could throw at him, just enough, but we're going to, right before it kills him, we're going to pull it back just a little bit. As if God is keeping problems. Yeah,
that's so nice of him.
We think now Jeff can't handle much, so we're just going to give him, you know, a tribulation or, you know, a troubles rating of a 46 because he can't go much beyond that. He'll collapse.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts on that. Okay, that is, you know, it's a loose misparaphrase of a verse in the New Testament.
Okay.
Do you remember that verse about God will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able to withstand?
Right.
So that's where it comes from. But do not put more on you than you can bear. I mean, the other way of looking at it, I've heard people talk about it, you can look at these different angles, is that no, I mean, everything is more than we can bear. Yeah. That's why we need him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I heard somebody say that. This is still thought of as. I heard a comedian say, talk about natural disasters. He goes, we here, you know, in the Midwest and the South, you know, we get tornadoes. Of course, you know, in the South and the coast, we get hurricanes. And he mentioned that phrase because, you know, God will not give us more than we can handle. Now, you go to the West Coast, they don't get tornadoes. They don't get hurricanes. What do they get? Mudslides. They get a mudslide. We take our tractors, put big wheels on them. We have fun in the mud. You know, all you can handle is a mudslide out there. So.
I thought you were going to talk about earthquakes or something.
I didn't think that was good, but yeah, he didn't bring that one up, but I thought that was funny. Anyway.
So what number are we on now?
We're on number seven. Number seven is, Jeff, you need to pray hard about this.
Yeah, I've thought about, that kind of.
What does that mean? What does it mean? You got to pray. I didn't pray very hard about that. What does that mean? I didn't.
I think what they mean is you need to pray both in quantity, you need to pray longer, more often, and then you just need to pray with more emotion and more intense because God's impressed by that.
You squeeze your eyes real tight, because that means you're praying hard.
I mean, if you're really emotional about it, then God responds to that prayer more than just regular prayers.
You know, I always thought it was the prayer of faith that kind of did, just believing God, trusting God. Apparently not. It's how hard you pray. It's like a father and a kid. You know, a kid comes and wants something and asks the father for something. You know, Jesus says the father gives generously. But we'd say, no, you didn't really ask hard enough for that. You didn't.
Okay, let me dance to an area that may be a little bit controversial or off that. Okay, I think it makes a great point, is how that relates to the national scene. And I don't want to get into details, but obviously there's a lot of turmoil in the national scene, a lot of Christians on different sides and all that. And so that type of thing is often couched in the terms of for a nation.
Yeah.
And there have been examples where, you know, we need to pray harder for a nation, all that. And then, you know, at times I just feel like so much of it is misguided, that we're trying to impress God by our emotion and our intensity and our fear many times, rather than just and feel like we've got to do better and God's, you know, waiting for us to clear up all of our sins before he'll bless us or whatever, rather than just come to him in faith and believing.
I agree. So. All right, number eight. And it's a very popular, well-known phrase, what would Jesus do? I love the thing that's going around. I guess you've seen this. What would Jesus do? Well, he would upset religious people. Oh. And then the last one is, and take naps on boats.
Take more naps on boats, yeah.
And so, but that makes a good point, though, you know.
Yeah, so the idea that we're not, the life in Christ is not mimicking.
Trying to figure out what would Jesus do, and then you're just doing the same thing.
And, you know, you could. As if he's no longer around. All it points to, again, what we do, but that's another thing that assumes there's a separation between us and Christ. We're not in him, and he's not in us.
One more than if you've got any, but one more. Number nine for me is, God cannot be in the presence of sin. So, Jeff, if you got sin, God can't hang around that. He can't be there. He's too fragile.
And, of course, the easiest way to refute or to disprove that is what?
Jesus,
yeah, in the Gospels. He hung around sinners.
He didn't have any problem.
And so, and then Hebrews says he is the exact image, representation of the Father.
Right.
And so, he did. Again, that doesn't mean he approves of sin. It grieves him because he knows how it damages us. But he was perfectly comfortable around it and came. And that is really amazing that he came to where we were.
And he purposely went to where there was sin. He purposely went.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that people got upset with him about. What are you doing hanging out with these people? Don't you, you know?
I remember when we had a trip to Israel a few years ago and standing there on the Sea of Galilee, right by the sea, and he spent so much of his time right around that area. It just, to think, okay, the God of the universe, the God who created everything, that hung the stars in place, he came in the form of man to this location to hang out with these people for a few years. I mean, that is mind-boggling to think that. But
all right, you got anything to throw in the mix here?
A couple of the other ones, we probably talked about these. More of Jesus, I need more of Jesus and less of me. And I think we've talked about that before, that it's not, you know, it's Christ in us, and we're in Christ. And so, you know, the old self, and it has to do with the old self and the new self. You know, we are a new creation. So you are a new creation. You are righteous. Christ is in you. You don't want less of that.
No.
And so the less of me was already taken care of at the cross.
Yeah.
And so it's Christ
like,
in me.
Doesn't that come from, like, didn't John the Baptist also say something like,
He must increase, I must decrease.
He was saying, and I think John the Baptist was recognizing that he was kind of the focus of ministry at that point. Everybody's coming to John the Baptist to get him to baptize them. And I think John rightly pointed out that I need to kind of fade away a little bit here, and that the focus needs to be on Jesus. And I get that. But the idea today that in Christ it's less of me, more Jesus, what does that mean?
And so much is different before the cross and after the cross. So since it's been a while since we've done a podcast, that's kind of the gist of what we talk about and what we wrote about in the book all this, that the tendency to mix
What book are you talking about? What book is that?
So I'll go ahead and mention this. We're too far from the end here, but Breaking the Hex, Life with God After the Cross Killed Religion. Now, I'll lower the price to $9.99 on Amazon. That's what a lot of this does is just obliterates that bright red line. What do you think about that? That's a good way to describe it. A bright blood red line between the old covenant and the new covenant.
Yeah.
And so that makes all the difference in the world. So it's not more of Jesus and less of me, unless you're talking about what happened at the cross. Yeah, he the old self was crucified with him. Yeah. Now it's Christ in me.
Right.
And there's no separation there.
All right.
The only other one was do your best and God will do the rest. So God, he needs to fill in
the gaps.
Again, so many of these things assume there's a separation there.
Right.
A lot of these. That's kind of a reoccurring theme in all these. And that really is when we get misguided. We don't see ourselves as one with Christ. He and us. I read a thing a few weeks ago, and I put this note, I wrote it down thinking that someday we may do another podcast. Read on one of the Facebook pages, we're in him, he's in us, but it pointed out that we live in him in the heavenly places. He is living in us here in the earthly places. I think it might be.
I like that.
Look at there. So we're in him in the spiritual realm. He's in us as we're here in the physical realm.
So here's my way I would kind of wrap this up. If you hear any Christian phrase said by anybody, whether it's your favorite, us, or even somebody that may be your favorite minister or whatever, does it square with the good news of the gospel?
Right.
Is it about the good news of what God has done for you through Jesus, or does it take your focus off of that in one way or another? And most of these Christian phrases take your focus off of the good news of what God has done for us through Jesus, and it puts the focus on us.
And the danger is it can create a little bit of a temporary
bump,
false sense of bump.
Yeah.
But it ends up taking us farther away from the real true moment by moment motivation.
Right.
That we don't. It is sad how many times we've been there. You know, you kind of look for the next motivating thing.
Right.
You know, whether it's a book or a seminar or a song or a concert. Yeah. Just the next fix to kind of prop up. And a lot of times it's just propping up the flesh rather than just resting and being in the flow
of
Christ's life in us.
Here's what I now say to people like this. I say, don't you want to have peace? Don't you want to have some joy in your life? Don't you want to know that things are good between you and God? Well, the way to do that is to focus on the cross, what God has done for you through Jesus. It's not to focus on all this other stuff, because that other stuff will not do that. You will not be more joyful waking up every day and say, do I have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world? You know, that does not produce joy, does not produce peace, does not produce just a relationship with God that's healthy. It doesn't do that. It produces this introspection. We used to call it navel gazing. We're always looking at yourself. How am I doing? How am I living up to this? And I ask people, is really that what Jesus came to do? Right. Is that why he came to earth? To put that on us? That was the plan? I don't think so.
The other common denominator, it always has us trying to reach a goal that's still out there.
Right.
As opposed to the gospel says, right, you start there.
Right.
You start at the finish line. You are righteous. You are holy. You are in him. You are in the kingdom all the time, every day. And so we wake up every day knowing that we're already at the finish line, and we live from there, not to get there. I think it's a good way of saying it. We live from there, not to get there.
So, I agree. Hey, anything going on in your family you want to?
Well, we've got, since our last podcast, had two more grandkids.
How many grandkids do you have now, Jeff?
Two more grandkids since our last podcast. Had one that.
How many does that make now, Jeff? Let us know.
I've got 10 of them. We had one the day after Thanksgiving, one the day after Christmas. So I'm thinking Easter is kind of going to be a little bit of a letdown this year.
Yeah.
But and I've got all them numbered, their names memorized in birth order. You know, that's a little tricky when you get 10 in 6 years. But I've got to memorize.
So you have a chart on the wall or anything?
I've got a little thing, my notes in my phone.
Yeah, okay.
I like that. But my temptation is, tell me if you think I ought to do this or not. I think it'd be kind of fun to call them sometimes by their number instead of their name. Number 5, come over here. Now, in a way, it's kind of cute and endearing. In another way, you could say it's impersonal.
Why don't you try that and report back to us how that works? That'd be pretty interesting. Let us know how that goes over.
We had number 10 recently, and it's cute. Number 6 just loves his little brother, number 10. And so, you know.
I think that would be great. I mean, one of our things, our family is, Morgan, my youngest daughter, graduated from college.
Yeah.
And since I think that happened since the podcast, yeah. And so, anyway, so we're thrilled. You know, she's graduated with a 3.9, and she paid the bill. She has no school bill. I don't know if you knew that or not.
That is.
She paid for her way as she went.
That's more impressive than the 3.9,
I know. So we had kind of a little celebration for her at a restaurant because they couldn't have a regular graduation. They kind of did it with a Zoom call, and so we thought she needed more than that. So, anyway, we had a great time just kind of celebrating the fact that she worked really hard to get that graduate, particularly with a 3.9.
I think this podcast stuff might be kind of like riding a bike, you know? You kind of remember it comes back to you pretty quick, even though it's been a while, so.
I don't know, Jeff. It's been a long time since I've ridden a bike. You're assuming I still know how to do that. I don't know if I know how to ride a bike still or not. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun, so.
Good to be back.